This afternoon, everyone, I'd like you to join with me in the scriptures from God's sacred word and join me in the book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 10. Judges, chapter 2, and verse 10. Now, why do I start with the book of Judges? Because it carries on a very important theme that is very important for us in the days in which we find ourselves living. Remember, we've been stressing that the Bible is the book of Israel. One must understand who the nation of Israel is. The lost 10 tribes actually are not lost. I think most of us have studied that to know. Ephraim and Manasseh took the name of Joseph's two sons. After Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, he said, "Let my name be on them." Once that name was on them, and the other tribes that were in conjunction formulated the 10 tribes that were to the north of Jerusalem. The other tribes were to the south and came under the banner of Judah, the house of Judah, which collectively they all are part of the house of Israel. But the nation over there in Judah today is only the house of Jacob's son called Judah, and a few other tribes, Levi and Simeon, I believe, are mixed in there with them as well. But what happens when we study that area of the world? The book of Judges tells you what happened to those people after certain changes in the demographics took place. And it is a case history of how that nation then began to descend and go downhill. And when they were in such trouble, they would cry out to God, and he would send out of mercy a judge who would come and help them. They were so happy. They were relieved. And then all of a sudden, after things cooled up, they ended up turning around and going back to their old ways. So God had to send enemies in to punish them. Then they'd cry out to God again, and God would send a judge. Read the book of Judges in your own personal Bible study, and you will see a parallel going on in our country today, because we are part of those end-time descendants of the house of Israel. And not only what's going on in our country and in England, and also in the Middle East, in the land of the Middle East, in Jerusalem, Palestine, area, all this is nothing more than fulfilled prophecy beginning to explode before our very eyes. But now we begin this afternoon here with a very important topic that we're going to talk about that impacts our very calling, why God has called us as men and women to be a part of the Church of God in the new covenant administration of Jesus Christ. Remember, he said, "I will build my church." So we've got prophecies dealing with Israel, the physical nation, still the descendants here today experiencing these things. And we've got the Church of God, spiritual Israel, which is going to carry on in a very important administration during the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Now notice, if you will, I'd like to back this up here. It says in verse 8, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, he died. There's no greater honor that can be bestowed upon you than to be called the servant of God. Joshua is a servant of God. All of us are servants of God. We serve the living God. He died 110 years, and after that, those who grew up in that same generation, it says in verse 10, all that generation were gathered with their fathers, meaning they all ended up being laid to rest, just like past generations. But then it points out there arose another generation, and we run into a problem big time. And the problem is this. This generation that came forth knew not the Lord. They don't understand their relationship to God, nor did they understand the works which he had done for Israel, their forefathers, how they got where they are. That's what's happening today in a striking parallel in our country today. We have forgotten how our ancestors brought this nation to its great prominence under the blessing of God. And what is happening today is creating a problem which, again, I want to address in this context. First, our 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 reminds us that perilous times would come. None of this means anything to anybody if they're not students of the Bible. If they do not believe in a God and they do not believe in the Word of God, then as it says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. And it doesn't mean you're going anywhere or going to understand anything about this book unless you understand it from God's point of view. And today people are just picking and choosing different bits and pieces and creating religions left and right And people think they understand what God is doing, and they really don't. And you'll see what I mean in just a moment as I bring something to your attention that all of us need to know and understand. And it's happening right before our very eyes each and every day. Here we're told very plainly, another generation arose. Join me now in Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, in which we have some very important information given to us in verse 11. It says, there is a generation. A generation now is focused on a group of people who come up and live and follow as other generations, one right after another. And it says, there is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. Very interesting. A generation that doesn't have a working relationship with mom and dad. A generation that, as we have lived to experience in our lifetime, what is called a generation gap, where parents and the young people were no longer connected as a unit, but drifting apart. And it says there is a generation, what? That is pure in their own eyes. They think everything they do is A-okay. I'm okay, you're okay. They don't understand what sin and transgression and defilement is, as the Bible outlines. And it goes on to say that they are pure in their own eyes, and yet they are not washed from their filthiness. From God's point of view, they're filthy. Their rags are filthy. But humanly speaking, they think they're okay, that everything is fine. The Bible warns us in the end time that mankind would have a form of religion, but deny, or form of godliness, better put, and deny the, what? Power of God. If you acknowledge the power of God, that means you understand that God rules in the kingdoms of men, that He affects everybody's life, yours, mine, everybody. Nobody gets away with anything in terms of how God rules. He rules, Daniel says in his writings in the book that is given to us for our learning, that He rules in the kingdoms of men, and He gives it to whoever He will. Now, we've got a big election coming up, and people wonder, well, who's going to win the election? The Bible tells us we're not to be involved in that type of thing. We know that it is God who reigns in the kingdoms of men. But what God is going to do now, He's going to look at the hearts of the people. And He does this in every nation when they're bringing their rulers and people who want to rule and become their leaders and so forth. He's going to watch the nation, and He's going to see. Now, how many ascribe to the so-called things that are being put forth by the party on the left, who are going to be the party on the right? And neither of them are perfect. Nothing by men can be given that are perfect. But if enough people want to restore the values from God's point of view, even though they're not perfect, He will give us a certain type of ruler. But if they are just given to one, same old, that He may give them the other individual. So only time will tell. But this is why you and I are told to pray, because we want to have the right person reigning over us, because whoever is in that position is going to affect us, because they're going to be leaders in this land. And we want the right leaders with God's blessing. Then there is another generation, the next verse. It says, how are lofty in their eyes. They have this high and mighty manner about them. You hear the words, the elite today, people who think they're above the average person, and nobody is above the others. We're all in the same boat from God's perspective, and that is, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it says, their eyes are lifted up, and there is a generation whose teeth are like swords and the jaws like knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Yes, these individuals are people who will cut you to pieces. They have the ability to gainsay everything you say. Nothing gets past them as far as being courteous and right. They are just ready to tear you apart, and you don't know anything, and this type of thing. We hear it today, it's just called debate. All this is, they debate, 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 and they never come up with the right answer. So we see here that a generation was destined to arrive in the end time that had all these manifestations that we just read about in Proverbs 30. Now it touches the very subject in the heart of the subject we're going to talk about today. We've discussed generation. And the title of this message, I've given it this title, The Tragic State of Our Next Generation. The Tragic State of Our Next Generation. That's the title of this message. It's very important that we recognize that history is repeating itself right before our very eyes. And most people are just kind of ho-hum sitting back and don't realize the significance of what has happened. Oh, how fast we forget. Yes, this generation that we're in right now, that is the generation of the 21st century, they're going to face some of the most, best way I can put it, some of the most awesome problems and difficulties in mankind's years to come. The Bible calls it, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the end time. People are just going about their normal business and their routine. Violence fills the earth. People marry, given in marriage. They do just what they normally do. And who cares? Life just goes on. It's the new normal, as sometimes they want to call it. But it's not normal, folks. It is absolutely dangerous. And it is dangerous for this next generation, because the next generation are the ones that move up the ladder of life and become the future leaders of the nations. And not just our nation, but all nations. The next generations are being faced, but we have a special problem in the Western world. And I'd like to emphasize that as we continue to look at this subject today. I'm going to take you through a very interesting survey by the Barna Survey Group. This is a group that they study the lives of evangelical Christians, what they believe, what they practice, what they do. And they see and they evaluate things from many different perspectives. Now, we see very plainly, and they see, that there is a serious problem and a crisis that we are faced with in the Western world in which we live. We face it more so because of the way we operate in the Western world as opposed to the Eastern world. We forget sometimes, because people are not aware of what it says in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, that the real enemy of all mankind is Satan the devil, whom the Bible reveals is mankind's enemy. He's all of our enemy. And he has very, very multitudinous elements working with him called fallen spirits. We call them the demonic world. The Bible tells us we wrestle against that. Every day you have this kind of influence affecting. And what Satan and his spirit world does is to try to overthrow the Christianity of God's people. And he also wants something else. He wants, his goal is to destroy the next generation of young people coming on who will become the leaders of tomorrow. Because if he can destroy that generation, he knows very clearly that the world will be totally in his control. That's why the elect are so important, spoken of in the Bible. God is producing a family, and Satan hates the family. This sermon is going to deal basically with elements that are happening that are affecting our children, our families, child-rearing principles that people have forgotten. And what is happening, it is having a heavy toll upon the young generation coming up. That's why I call it the tragic state of our next generation. They're facing things that we in past generations have never had to face. And it is going to be horrific and produce almost a nightmare condition. And do you realize if you're one of those in that generation and suddenly you're thrust in the middle of all that and you haven't got a clue as to what's going on, it's going to be devastating upon that next generation. You and I are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, this is in the New King James Version, we're reminded, we are told not to let Satan take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. But I submit to you, dear friends, we are ignorant in some areas. We're not as sharp as we like to think we are, and we better not underestimate the power of the devil. He is slick and he is shrewd, and he knows how to get to you in ways that you might not think he can do. Because he knows every weakness that we have, because he's witnessed it. As God watches over us, so does the devil. This is his world. We're told that he does what? He roams like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's always on the prowl. Have you lowered your spiritual defenses? And if you have, wow, he attacks that fast. He doesn't rest. He's very relentless. And we're told to be just as relentless in our resisting the devil and doing what? Submitting to God. Because if you don't submit to God, you can resist all you want, but you don't win with the devil. When you submit to God and resist the devil, he will flee from you. You got nothing to fear from the devil or the demonic world. God gives us that wonderful encouragement from his scriptures. What I'd like to do in the rest of this time, I'd like to take you through something very interesting. It is a book that I have studied, one that has a real insight as to the trends that have been happening in our day and age. It's called The Marketing of Evil, and it is written by David Kupelian. He's the author, and what he goes through, he says how the marketing of evil is selling sex and corruption to your children. Now, this sermon deals with, again, obviously, child-rearing situations. And don't exempt yourself if you've already had your children or you don't have children, because we're all children of God, and these principles are eternal in the sense that we are all duty-bound. And we love our families, all of us do, and we have to pray for our families, and we have to recognize what they're up against and be the example God has called us to be and stand in the gap in this most dangerous period of time of human history. And not many people are willing to do that. That's why God calls his elect very special. He says, you better be alert, he said, because if it were possible, it would even deceive the very elect. They would get misled if they don't stay close to the Word of God. Now, just as the military or any private school utilizes uniforms, you know, if you're in the military, how do we know you're in the Marines or the Army or the Air Force? By the type of uniform you wear. What about if you're in a private school, like a Catholic school? They sometimes have them dressed with certain types of clothes, the guys, the girls. Everything is designed to do what? Bring you together. To make you part of that unit. And that's exactly what the military does. That's what private schools and religion do. And it's part of, again, training, much needed training. And what do youth of today in today's culture, what type of training do they have? What kind of cultural units, what do they wear? What I want you to do is to take into consideration the things I'm going to cover fast and quick. And just relax and ask yourself, is this what I'm seeing today all around me? For example, do you see young people running around with baggy pants? Do you see them running around with their baseball hats turned backwards? I used to, as a boy growing up, always wear mine forward. I never thought of wearing it unless I was a catcher on a team. Then I had to move my hat to the back. But they run it around or they wear it sideways. And they all have these different things that they do. How about chokers? How about certain types of jewelry? What about body piercing? Oh, man, people are piercing their bodies like crazy. And isn't it interesting? Because if you were to grab somebody and force that piercing on them, what would happen? Ah, you're torturing me! But if you can convince them that you look beautiful when you stick it in your nose, stick it in your ear, stick it in your back, stick it in other places I won't mention, because they're sticking it everywhere. And what it is, this body piercing, is a violation of the sacred temple that God has given us. Now, if you've been pierced and you've got any of these problems, please remember, that's the past. That's the stuff you've repented of. You're not going there anymore. So don't, you know, if you've fallen to that type of thing in the past, it just shows how this world influences you. You become part of the culture. God has called us out of this culture. He said, come out of her, my people. That is why it is so important. Uniforms symbolize values and allegiance. That's what is important. You wear the uniform of the Marine because you are a Marine and you carry that very thing. But how do these individuals today in the new generation that we're facing, what are they going to identify with? Well, they identify with music, certain social things like social media. How about sexual things that they do today that past generations would never have dared to even think. And if they did, they did want anybody to know, because usually when you do what you're not supposed to do, you want to hide. They flaunt it out there openly today. They want everybody to see their sin, because there is no sin. They don't act with sin. Well, sin, what is sin? Does anybody sin anymore? Wow. So what do we have? We find that they identify with different things like the culture of rap. Today, rap has played a very important thing. Interesting that before he died, one of the all-time greats, who was a piano player, blind, Ray Charles, he could play anything and do anything. I love listening to Ray Charles. He could sing country, he could sing pop, he could sing classic, he could do it all. He said, but I wouldn't cross the street for rap, paraphrasing his thought, because it doesn't teach me anything as a musician. All I hear is a bunch of yucca, 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 rhyming, 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 and people jumping all over the place. He says, but there is a hidden message in those things, rap. It's a culture of the street. It's not a culture that comes from a higher source. And this is why he renounced it. He didn't want any part of it. But if you take time and go back into time, where do you find that this kind of stuff started? Back in the 1960s. Back in the 1960s. You know, in the 50s, it was Father Knows Best. It was those things that held virtue and family values up high. By the time the 60s came, people were getting confused. They didn't know what was what anymore. You had places where people were now talking free love and all kinds of crazy stuff was going on. And that generation then began to perpetuate a lot of this stuff. And they were teaching their kids these things. And as we move now into the 21st century, it becomes even more staggering. Back in the 1960s, it started with L.A. street gangs called the Crips and the Bloods. And they wore certain identifying clothing to represent who they represented. And you were to stay out of certain areas because if you violated their area and their turf, you were in trouble. And a lot of people were wearing clothes and didn't even realize they were violating some of these things and going because they weren't aware of this kind of stuff. Well, it has grown. It has grown. We are witnessing today Chicago gang witnessing, gang warfare. That's why they're killing each other up there. The gangs are killing each other up there. And nobody's doing anything to really stop it. They could, but they wouldn't. Because why? Because we're more worried about other things, like bringing in all kinds of people who don't really represent our value system. And so we're going to do that. We're going to bring those in here. But why not take care of our own? I always grew up understanding charity begins at home. You take care of your own before you take care of others. Why are we taking care of everyone else at the expense of the American people? This is what made America great, giving anyone from around the world an opportunity to come and experience an opportunity for greatness. It's the opportunity that people need. And what you do with that opportunity is up to the individual. As they say, it only, you know, opportunity only knocks once. You better grab that and run with it. Well, the Barna survey shows that this whole situation now and what happened at a college called Virginia Tech, where a terrible thing happened, and you've heard about all these different types of very terrible, unfortunate killings that have been happening, it's a wake-up call to parents. And the Barna group went on to find out why is this happening. So they started digging into this. And they found out that by the time the American child is 23 years of age, they have witnessed 30,000 acts of violence and have been exposed through television. I mean, you know, if the world's going to end, may it not end while I'm watching Gunsmoke. Remember Gunsmoke on TV, which old Matt Dillon? That was one of the big ones that started. And a lot of other people grew up with certain things. And it's gotten a lot worse. This stuff is tame compared to what some of the movies are coming out. And what are most of those movies? What are they? R-rated, not suitable for young children. But if you go to some of those movies, which you should very carefully monitor yourself as well as your children and not go to something that would be unacceptable to them, then why are you going? Because until a child looks and says, well, if you're going, what's wrong? Why can't I go? Well, example is very important. Children today, many children have very serious problems emotionally and psychologically, and they are more prone to do crazy things when they are exposed to violent scenes and things of that nature because of the copycat element we all have in our nature. We like to copy things, and children copy things, and sometimes they copy some very bad things. We're seeing more violent crimes being committed by children, and that's why it's so important to be alert, like Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 5 and verse 12. That's Isaiah 3, 5, and 12. Those are prophecies concerning the younger generation. What's going to happen? Children are their oppressors and women rule over them. And God tells us that this creates serious problems when we understand how God ordained the family. And when a family is broken, because the family is the basic building block of any society. And once you can break the family, then you break a nation. And our families are in jeopardy, folks. By 23, the average American has viewed thousands of hours of pornographic images on TV, or better put, on computers. But if not computers, now you can do it on cell phones. They're giving you an app and things like that. You can get to this stuff. And it's terrible. And you have to really be on your toes. These images lodge in the human mind and are hard to get out, especially if you're a repeat offender on this. It's just like a person, if he's an alcoholic, you can't keep sticking alcohol in front of them and expect them, well, I can conquer that. I don't. Oh, no, they can't. They become functioning alcoholics if they keep drinking. But what about this kind of stuff? It damages the relationship between man and woman. Male and female. And so women are brought down from the pedestal that God intended. Jesus always raised womanhood up to a higher standard. And the woman is pictured as bringing forth the Christ child, which is where salvation comes forth for all of us. But what it does is, for example, school breaks. What do you hear when you think of school breaks? The kids going wild. There was a presentation some time ago called Girls Gone Wild. Not only the guys, but the girls are getting into the act now. And they want to get involved and do the things the guys are doing down there, and it ain't good, folks. It damages marriage. It defiles us, as Mark 7, verse 18 and 23, 18 through 23. It defiles us. And in Philippians 4, verse 8, you and I are told to think on whatever is wholesome and good and right and uplifting. Not the bad stuff, but the good stuff. Hundreds of hours of music. How many of us have seen young people today, teenagers, even older folks, with those things in their ears? What are they listening to? Whether they're jogging, whatever they're doing, they're listening to music. Hundreds of hours of music. That type of music they listen to, if it's not the right kind of music, fosters anger, hatred, disrespect for authority. Notice we've got a police problem right now. People are disrespecting the law and order. And once you break down the law and order, you've got anarchy in the streets. Home Box Office once was running ads about a program they had on called Sons of Anarchy. Who wants to be a part of Sons of Anarchy? That's wild craziness in the streets. We want peace. We want safety. We want the things that we can rear our families in such a way that people can enjoy the gift of life God has given us, not be in a state of upheaval all the time. That's why God says it's a perilous time in which we're living. The typical worldview of a person in their early 20s promotes self-centeredness. That's what you read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, 5, 6. It shows that people are self-centered. They're not God-centered, let alone looking forward to help their fellow human beings. The typical worldview of a person in that area is that they have the right to be happy and fulfilled, and that government has to do this for us. Somebody's got to do it for us. Well, no. The opportunity said when this country was formed years ago that we will give you opportunities, but you have to work hard. Well, the work ethic is out the window. Nobody wants to work anymore. Bosses complain all the time about this very thing. All the people want is, how much do I get And how fast can I get out? In other words, when do I quit? And people are just not geared anymore to do what needs to be done. The younger generation does not have the steel of character anymore that past generations. You remember World War II? Remember what it was called? The greatest generation? Why? Because they had to sacrifice and do things that the average person today would not do. I've read stories where pilots who flew B-17s in World War II, 19-year-old young fellas, and they were concerned about all their fellas wanting to bring them back safely after every mission. I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to get into a plane with an average 19-year-old today who was not trained with the discipline and the character that those men demonstrated back then. Because why? Because when bosses are having to correct their employees, guess what the kids do today? I call them kids because they act like it. They cry on the job. Why are you picking on me? This isn't right. I haven't done anything wrong. He's the boss. The boss is always right. You've got to comply with the boss when you get a job and you work for him. You don't tell him what to do. He tells you what to do, or go find a job somewhere else. That's the plain, simple truth. But people don't want to work. They want it easy. And as a result, they want to justify all personal forms of behavior. They want to tolerate the aberrant. Immoral points of view are now talked about. It allows for disrespect of other people and even the use of profanity. How often have you gone maybe to a movie and you didn't go because you wanted to hear something bad, but all of a sudden in the movie, whoop, they use a four-letter word and it's not love. Why did they do that? Shock effect. Shock effect. And when you have young people sitting there with early minds, eager to learn, and they hear all this stuff, they think that's normal. Human beings have degenerated in this period of time to a great degree. Hard work, personal sacrifice, the Barna recognizes in their investigation, not good, folks. Only 2% of today's teenagers actually have a deep understanding of the biblical worldview and acknowledge the existence of God. You remember last week I mentioned to you, people today don't believe in God anymore and they don't believe in miracles. They're turning away from the reality of God. And yet everything in this world that we see around us shouts there is a God. It tells us there has to be a great sovereign creator who made all this. No, the existence of God, the existence of Satan, sin, forgiveness, grace, understanding who Jesus Christ was, they don't have a real grasp and comprehension because they don't see themselves as sinners. They don't see what do I got to be saved for? You've got to be saved from the second death. That's what you've got to be saved from. And at the first death, that's the course of life. The second death, after that, there is no life. And that's why it's an important topic to understand. One out of every five young people is under the influence of mood-altering medication. Today, you notice all the ads on TV. If you've taken this particular drug, you may be eligible for compensation. Why? The drug or medication that they gave you with the idea to help you has now caused problems. Now you've got kidney problems, heart problems, liver problems, spleen problems, and every other kind of problem because the medication is throwing your body in a state of disarray. God does not want us to just indiscriminately do things of that nature. Remember, you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. And God wants you to do what? Dress and keep it. Yes, use wisdom. If you have to go to medical, make sure you get a second opinion. Don't just grab one and just say, well, he ought to know what he's doing. Yeah, he can mess you up for life. I know such an individual in a congregation that we serve in the Macon area. And what happened there? The young lady needed some help, corrective surgery. He messed her arm up and she's like this for the rest of her life. How would you like to have something like that? All because you thought the guy knew what he was doing. Be sure you get the very best when you get counsel in those particular areas. What about the stress level today? Kids are growing up in this day and age. They don't see happy mommy and daddies hugging and kissing. What do they see? Moms and dads arguing. In addition to that, they see, I've got two daddies and I've got two mommies now. Yeah, everything. Oh, and the guy who thought he was a guy now thinks he's a girl. Everything is confusion. Now, brethren, who is the author of confusion if it is not Satan the devil? He's trying to destroy people and take them in every direction but the right. One-third of our nation's teenagers today find themselves having physical fights all the time. It's part of what they have to deal with. They're carrying weapons to school to protect themselves from getting beaten up. Young ladies are constantly on the evening news because why? They go to college and they're being raped by other individual students. Terrible things that are happening today. Education is diminishing as far as it does not emphasize character and the importance of academic excellence. No, you don't want to ask young people to make sure that you get all A's, work hard, do the very, very best. Just get by. If you can just get by, that will do. No, the Bible makes it very clear. God demands excellence of all of us. He doesn't want a family of individuals who cannot function. He wants us to understand. He wants sons and daughters that are a tribute to Him and His glory. Complex life without traditional safety nets is leaving people in a state of chaos. They don't know where to go. They see divorce running rampant. They see marriage now disintegrating. They don't even know what marriage is anymore. Barna is just beside themselves, along with Capellian's book. They don't receive the proper attention. Today, parents don't give their young people enough attention. And what happens to children as they grow into their teenage years and become young adults? Mom and dad's opinions no longer resonate. Nobody cares what mom and dad has to say anymore. Because your greatest time of control and help is from the time they are born to 13 years of age. Once they pass that level, now they question everything and they start looking at you with suspect. They want to know, how do I know what you're telling me is true? You've got to teach them how to do what all persons have to do. And that is, you've got to prove these things, hold fast what is right, and discard error. And that's found in Thessalonians for our learning. But if they don't listen to you, who do they listen to? Their peers. Peers. Peer pressure becomes very strong, not only among young people, but also adults. It's amazing to see even adults beginning to throw away 30, 40 years of marriage, walking away from somebody they said, I'll live with you. And I always think of these crazy songs from time to time where they say, we promised each other forever. Forever didn't last too long. It just went down the drain because they don't have a value. If you don't have fidelity, what guarantee do you have that your mate will not step out on you? You've got to have trust that you know your mate is with you. And that's why God sets His laws in motion, so He gives you that understanding that your happiness will be within the framework of these rules, guidelines, and loving instruction of the divine parent of the universe, God Himself. He is a heavenly Father for all of us. He wants the very best for us. But many parents are struggling today because, unfortunately, parents feel overburdened, they're stressed, both parents work. Many times now we only have single-parent homes where young people grow up. They don't have the influence of a father. A mother is great, and she just wasn't ordained to be a mom and dad. It's hard on her if she's all by herself. And a man, the same way, he's not made to be a mom and dad. He's made to be a man. And the mother is to be the woman in the house, the queen of that home, and the two together form a beautiful union that God says produces a safety net for children to grow up in. And with that attitude, kids are happy. They grow up happy. They learn from your example. When they don't have that example, they got to go somewhere. So they go to the gangs. They go to their peers. And their peers are not their friends many times, because their peers get them on drugs, get them on alcohol, get them to do things they shouldn't do. Oh, materialism. That's what motivates most people today. What's in it for me? What can I get? What about living beyond the means? All these things are impacting on parents and families. Parents tend to blame other parents for their failures with regard to their children. Even in the Church of God, many times parents didn't do their job, didn't teach their children. They left it to the church and hoped that the church would, by osmosis, help them to be converted. But that's not how conversion works. And so many children, not only in the Church of God, but in all the different churches, have left the churches. They don't see anything relevant because it doesn't relate to them. They need to know their destiny, why they were born, where they're going, and what God is doing on this earth. When they see all this crazy stuff going down, they need to have answers. God gives those answers, but not everybody wants the answers God gives. And God says, the choice is yours. Choose life, choose death. Fewer than 1 out of 10 parents pray together. Children need to see mom and dad pray. They also need to see that parents have standards and that parents are aware of this dramatic effect that is happening upon children today. Joseph Goebbels, I believe is how they pronounce his name, he was the propaganda minister of the Third Reich of Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany in the 1930s and 40s. He would be very proud of what's going on today, because today they have mastered his approach. By controlling the medias and they're framing the minds of people, that's what's happening. People are being led astray. That's exactly what the Scripture says. Oh, my people, those who lead you in the error of your ways. They're leading you in the wrong direction. And Ephesians makes it very plain in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 and 9 through 11. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5 and 9 through 11, that God has a plan for all humanity. Jesus is bringing many sons and daughters unto glory. He's doing it His way. It's called His salvation. And it is going to require voluntary submission on behalf of human beings like ourselves in order to receive the blessing of God. God wants to see consistency in our life. That's what's the hardest thing to do. Do you want to be an individual who gets regular exercise? That word regular is almost hard to live with, isn't it? You can start and you begin, but there's so many other things that disrupt by the way life comes at you that you cannot get regular exercise. So you have to grab what you can and you get as much as you can. But the bottom line is strive for consistency, because that is a principle and an overall standard that is so necessary. A parent who loves their children. And I'm talking not just, again, just to get this in its proper perspective. Please remember, if you've already had your children, like my wife and ourselves, we've had our children, we've gone through that process, we've, by the grace of God, raised them to adulthood, now we've got grandchildren, and we're seeing them in the process of life going through. We pray for them, not only your children, but your grandchildren. Then you pray for all children. When you see St. Jude and you see some of the terrible problems children are getting today, when you hear the news that the Zika virus is now in Singapore and it has moved into Malaysia, it is going to become a worldwide crisis. And in Congo, they are fast, quick inoculating everyone in the Congo, in Kinshasa, the capital city, because of yellow fever outbreak. Disease epidemics were prophesied in the Scriptures. We've got to maintain the strongest immune system possible, and that means dress and keep. And then, of course, parents have to realize, don't be afraid to be an example to your children. Don't be afraid to speak the Word of God. God wants us, according to Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Give him the best you can give him, but don't think that just because you gave it to him, he's always going to follow it. He or she may choose a different path. They're free agents of choice. Free will has been ordained for them as well. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9, reminds us of what we're trying to do in the Church of God, and that is teach your children. If you don't teach them when you sit down, when you rise up, when you get here, go there, make them, as I would use the term when our children were growing up, I couldn't make them perfect. I would love to wave a hand and make them perfect, but no, they're going to make their mistakes. But what could I do? Make them God conscious in a world that says, where's God? He's all around if you've got eyes to see. If you can't see, your head is buried in the sand. No wonder God says, this people, they eyes that do not see, ears that do not hear, neither hearts do they understand. They're dull of hearing. God, hope, I pray, that we're not that individual, dull of hearing. As parents, we pray for our children when they're young. We pray for them when they go through teenage years. We pray for them when they get married and become young adults. And some of you are going to get married someday and you're going to have children of your own. You're going to need these understandings because biblical principles are what are going to save your family, not the principles being advocated by the world we live in. And may God bless you for every effort that you make to ascribe the things of God. Because God will be with you, and as the kingdom of God approaches, our role is going to become even more important, because Daniel says that when people start scrambling, looking for answers, it says they, in the book of Daniel, they that know their relationship with God shall teach many in those troubling times. We're going to be able to give answers to people who are searching for answers. God desires godly seed to be produced. Satan wants to destroy that godly seed. We are in the battle for our children's well-being, not just when they're small, but when they're grown, because we take them with us all the days of our life, do we not? Do we not love our children, even though we're hurt sometimes? Even like the song says, you always hurt the ones you love. How many times we've been hurt, even by our own children, because they defy sometimes. This is part of life. We've all gone through it. But the forces of evil are out to destroy the family. And I believe all true values that should strengthen a family. We are to stand in the gap, as Dr. Donald Ward of the Council, he is the chairman of the Council of Elders of the United Church of God, constantly urges us to stand in the gap. That God is looking for men and women who realize what's happening in this world, and that we will do what? We will all do the very best we can to teach, not only now, but realize we're being prepared to teach in that wonderful world when Jesus Christ comes back, and there's going to be a lot of work to do. It's not just going to be a slapping of the hands, hocus pocus, and everything's going to be beautiful when Christ returns. If you think it's that way, you don't know your Bible. Read it again, and you will discover all kinds of things that have to be done before the world will ultimately become, as it says, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the world like waters cover the sea. It's not that way right now. That's something yet future. And that's where you and I come in. God is training us. Are we with Him? Are we on the same page with Him? If so, then God says, what I want is to make you, my sons and daughters, kings and priests, to teach other human beings what I have taught you, how to become an obedient son and daughter of the great living God. And there can be no greater honor placed upon all of us, one we understand, as Joshua. What was Joshua called? He was a servant of the living God. That's what you and I are called to do. To remember, child rearing is a lifetime job. It never ends just because a child gets up and leaves home. Wherever they go, you go with them. Wherever they are, you pray for them. Wherever they are, may they always remember from the bottom of their heart, thank you, Dad. Thank you, Mama, for being there for me.